Amen. Oh, that's good, Pat. Thank you, brother. We're going to start off in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2. It's page 1057 on the Bible in front of you if you need a Bible or if you brought one with you or have it in your phone. Just kind of put your finger there, and I want to start by saying this. I am outside of myself this morning with excitement because I got to fulfill like a lifelong dream last night and blow stuff up. I got to participate in a fireworks show last night, and I don't know if you like fireworks. I love fireworks, but there is something completely different about it when you participate in the actual blowing of the stuff up. And a friend of mine who comes here does shows, and he invited me. I went and got trained in April, so it wasn't just, hey, come blow stuff up with me. No, there's a whole training process that goes into this thing, safety stuff, paperwork, to make sure you're doing this authentically. But last night, first of all, I need to let you know, there is a ton of stuff that goes into a fireworks show, all right? It's not like all of a sudden it just falls out of the back of the truck and goes boom, and everybody goes, oh, wow, it's really pretty. No, it's an all-day process. I learned this yesterday. So I'm exhausted today. I'm thoroughly excited. I'm exhausted. I missed the memo about take two Advil and call me in the morning. I missed that memo. So I woke up this morning pretty sore. But there's something about standing there with that flare in your hand and turning around and lighting a 6-inch mortar. There's just something. Those are the big ones. When you're watching the show and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that was, wow. Yeah, that's, okay, imagine lighting that and then turning around and feeling it launch about 5 feet away from you. Your insides shudder. I'm pretty sure I contused my internal organs. And it was all said and done. I came home, I kind of limped in the house, and then it was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm sore, I'm tired. And she's like, what? What's that all about? Quit crying. She had more grace and mercy than that. I'm just playing it up. This is my brain. But I got to fulfill this lifelong wish. And I was thinking about it. I'm going, you know what? It's not dissimilar. The process that I went through is not dissimilar than setting up for a Sunday morning. There's a lot of work and preparation for a Sunday morning. There's a lot of study and preparation to make sure you present things correctly. And if you do it right, there's a fireworks show on a Sunday morning. You get to hear the good stuff of Jesus. But that right there is where the correlation ends. And I want to come back to that at the end of the service. I just want to kind of leave that sitting out here. Because our life with Christ is way more than a fireworks show. Way more. And so this morning, we're starting a series that we call Lifelines, that your relationship with Christ is way more than Sunday morning. If your focus and your understanding of Jesus hinges on Sunday morning, we are doing something wrong. It's way more than Sunday morning. And we see that fleshed out in Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at the end of Acts chapter 2 and the end of Acts 4. For the next 3 weeks. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the same passage. We've never done this. I've never done this before. We've never done this before that I know of. We're going to look at the same passage. So I'm going to try not to steal Jaime's thunder, who's going to preach next week on this, because there's some amazing stuff here. So this morning, we just want to give you the overarching view of what this looks like. And then we're going to narrow it in as we get closer to the next 2 weeks. But would you join me in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. It's on page 1057 in the Pew Bible in front of you, the top of the right-hand side there. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles." Now, if we stopped right there, that's a pretty good mirror image of what should happen on a Sunday morning. I understand that we all come into Sunday morning with different lenses. But if we're doing it somewhat right, you're going to see these pieces devoting themselves to teaching. There's going to be some kind of teaching taking place on a Sunday morning, right? And the apostles' teaching. There was a consistency and a continuity to what was preached. If you hear somebody say, I have a new revelation from God, different than anything he's ever said before, chances are it's wrong. There's a continuity to what Jesus says. So when somebody says, I was reading this passage of scripture and I saw something new, and that doesn't mean anything close to what we thought it meant, this is what it means now, do not listen. There is a soundness to the teaching that was presented by the apostles. And then they had this thing called fellowship. In the Greek, it's koinonia. It's a really cool word, but really it's this concept that as Christians, we share the same Lord Jesus, we share the same guide for life, we share the same love for God, we share the same desire to worship him, we share the same struggles, we share the same victories, we share the same job of living for him, we share the same joy of communicating the gospel to others. There's a sameness in what we're doing together this morning. We've come here this morning, hopefully, we've come here this morning because of one man, who is the Son of God, Jesus. And we have that all in common. And then they devoted themselves to breaking of bread, communion, in remembrance of Jesus. If we're not constantly reminding you that there is this man, Jesus, who died for you, we are doing something wrong. Because we believe that he was who he said he was. And we're going to do this all in remembrance of him. We're going to be reminding you every Sunday morning about this guy, Jesus. There's a continuity to this. And then prayer. Whenever God's work is being worked out in his people are praying. And these four things oftentimes are accompanied on a Sunday morning. And if we just stop there, if we just stop there in this scripture and call today and pray and send you out, we're missing the wholeness of what it means to have a relationship with Christ. We're missing it. I had the fortune or the misfortune of growing up in a pretty conservative church in Oklahoma in the 80s. My dad was a pastor, and I learned really quickly how to do church. We were at church all the time. We were at church Sunday morning, we were at church Sunday night, we were at church Wednesday night, we were at church all the time. And my concept of Jesus had to do with the building. And very quickly, my brain dichotomized my faith, or separated my faith. Jesus was something you did and you talked about in the four walls of a building, and it had nothing to do with Jeff's life during the week. Call it whatever you want, the Jesus box and the rest of the life box, the Jesus hat and the rest of the life hat. Whatever it was, I did it. There was a separation, there was a wall between what happened in the four walls of the church and what happened in my life the rest of the time. And so the church people saw the church Jeff, and in school and family and those kind of things, they saw that Jeff. I had separated my life. In order for us to understand truly who Jesus is, that cannot be the case. Coming here on a Sunday morning doesn't make you more a Christian than going to Tarantella's makes you a buffalo chicken pizza. It might taste and look really good, but it's not who you are. It's not who you are. It's way more than the four walls of this church, and we see it fleshed out here in the rest of this little section here. In verse 44, it says, all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Their faith was not hinged on what they did in the walls of a building. Their faith was hinged on the person and work of Jesus in their everyday life. And we see these list of things here that they did together. They had everything in common. Imagine that. Everything in common. All you have to do is spend 5 minutes on social media and realize that Christians don't have everything in common. They sold their possessions and they gave the proceeds to anyone who was in need. Imagine what that would look like. Every single day they met together and they encouraged one another. They broke bread not just at the temple courts in some kind of a service. They broke bread in their homes. In their homes, they sat and remembered what Jesus had done for them. And then they had a meal together and fellowshiped with one another. They praised God and that his favor was shown on one another. And because of all that, because they were living out their relationship with Christ, Christ added to their number daily. It didn't happen because of a really good sermon in the temple courts. It happened because they were living life together, and that relationship looked very different than what the world had to offer, and people wanted what they had. There's a reason why, for the last several weeks, we've been telling you about this thing called connection groups, where we get together in somebody's home, and we talk about what we heard on a Sunday morning. We live life together. In our connection group, we make a meal. We have a meal together. We sit, we eat, we listen, we fellowship. And Jesus becomes real in a tangible way to one another. We cry with one another. We rejoice with one another. We encourage one another. There's a lot of one another going on. And that cannot happen by itself in the row. It has to move from the row to the circle of people. It has to move beyond the four walls of the church into every single day life. If it does not happen, we're missing something. So all this year, we've been talking about these three pillars that we've been working on: listening to God, loving on Nyack, and going deeper. We cannot go deeper if our only depth happens here on a Sunday morning, once and done. It won't happen. Brother Lawrence put it this way: "For me," he explained, "work time is no different than prayer time. Even in the noise and clatter of the kitchen with different people calling for different things all at once, I still know God's presence with just as much real peace as if I were on my knees at communion." Jesus is the same Jesus at my workplace. He's the same Jesus in my kitchen. He's the same Jesus that we worship on a Sunday morning. We can come and worship him on a Sunday morning, but if all we do is come and worship him on a Sunday morning and have a good time and then go home and we're not affected and not changed and something isn't different and he doesn't manifest in and through us on a daily life, then we're missing something. And I don't want you to miss anything. I don't want you to miss a life that is filled with the presence and power of Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. Because it's so good. It's so good. So flip over one page, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. And this is another little picture, image, glimpse. Verse 32, Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we get to see another little glimpse or image of what was going on there in the early church. Verse 32. It said, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no one needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money for the sale, and they put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to one another, to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They were one in heart and mind. And the truth here was that people were more important than things. More important than possessions. They shared everything that they had. So they showed that first God was first, then people, and all the material stuff came in a distant third. God's grace was so working in power. And that grace really was God's favor, his smile from heaven. We have an elder that likes to tell us this all the time. God is smile. May God's smile so shine on you today. His glory, may it so shine on you today. May the grace of God so shine on you today that you grasp just a glimpse of his smile. It was so radiant upon the early church that people couldn't help but see it in one another. And it affected how they lived their daily life so that no one was in need. There was absolutely nothing that anybody needed because the church was living this out every single day, every day. And people sold their homes to help each other. And one of them was this guy, Barnabas, who started his life in the church being called the Son of Encouragement. How would you like that title? I would love that to be my title. Jeff Salveson, Son of Encouragement. That's way better than reverend. They were living this out in an everyday life, and it was changing everything about who they were and how they lived. I think we have a long way to go, but we can start today. We can start today. I had this growing up life where I dichotomized everything, where I had it separated. I had my church life over there and my rest of life over here. And it came to the point where, you know what? That's a really hard way to live. I don't know if you've ever tried to segment your life and be a different person at work than you were at home, or a different person at home than you are here at the church, or a different person, whatever. It's hard to be more than one people. It's difficult. And I reached a breaking point in high school because I forgot who I was supposed to be, when I was supposed to be it. And all of a sudden, the everyday life, Jeff showed up in the church and, what's wrong with him? That's some bad language. Don't you love Jesus anymore? Or some of it showed up in school. Something about, what are you, a holy roller now, Jeff? Bible thumb, where are you now? And it was difficult. And it came to this point where I had to make a choice to either continue to try to do this or not live this way any longer. It was so difficult to the point that I was contemplating suicide because it was so difficult, so hard. And I remember looking at my mom and thinking, wow, she really lives, she gets this. She gets it. My dad was a pastor. It's his job. He has to. If he didn't, he's a liar. But my mom, she lived it. And there wasn't a difference on how she lived. She was the same person at home as she was in the church. I thought, how did she do that? One morning I got up and I was walking past her room and I saw her sitting on her knees praying for me. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would reveal yourself to my son, and that he would know you the way that I know you. And when you experience Jesus and the capacity of your soul, and not just on a celebration on a Sunday morning, something shifts. There is a shift that takes place, and the barriers between those two things get shattered, and they begin to crumble. This morning, I want you to think about, what are the barriers that are separating your spiritual life? What are the blocks? What are the barriers that are separating you from the fullness of what Christ has for you? Are there any blocks or barriers that are keeping your Jesus life over here and your rest of your life over there. I want us to chisel those away because you cannot live that way. You can't. It's not healthy, and it's not what Christ wants for you. It's not what he wants for you. I said earlier that I think the whole fireworks show and the correlation ends at Sunday morning. Your relationship with Christ is not one little experience that goes, wow. See, in a fireworks show, if you do it right, everybody is amazed. Last night we got done, everybody's cheering. If we screw something up and the fireworks don't go off, we go, oh, that wasn't great. They should get somebody new next week. And if our relationship with Jesus Christ hinges on a Sunday morning, it could look like, wow, it was a really good service today. Wow, you know, I feel really good in my soul. And tomorrow morning, I felt really good on Sunday. And then Tuesday, wow, I felt really good on Sunday. And then Wednesday, I felt really good on Sunday. And then Thursday, what was yesterday like? Or worse, wow, it was really bad. It was really bad yesterday. I need to find somewhere else to go so that my soul feels good. Or maybe put it this way. Jesus is not looking for you to have a once a week experience on a Sunday morning. He is looking for your life. He is not looking for you to have a once a week firework experience. He wants your soul. He wants your soul and your life. And it cannot happen. It cannot. If the only thing about Jesus is Sunday morning, it's way more than that. It's got to go beyond this day in one worship service, and then we come back and do it all over again next week. It's got to invade your everyday life. And when the early church saw Jesus die on the cross, and then they saw the Holy Spirit come in power through the apostles, their lives were forever changed, and they did this thing together. So this happens through the person and work of Jesus Christ, manifested in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit through his people. And so when his people come together and humble themselves and pray, he will heal their land. And he'll heal your soul. And your life will be forever changed. And the people that you do this together with, who you live this out, who you be this with, will be forever changed. If it's just about me sitting on a pew, singing a couple songs, listening to maybe some good things that Pastor Jeff says, and then I walk out, but it doesn't interact on a day by day with Dave, and we interact and we talk to one another and we interact with one another, and he shares what God is doing in his soul and I share what God is doing in my soul, and this connection is made. Why? Because the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is with us. Then we are forever changed. And then you're sitting in a coffee shop in Nyack, being kind and compassionate to one another, and somebody sitting next to you overhears you whose life is terrible because everybody is nothing but mean to them, and they look and they see the interaction that Dave and I have, and they say, I want that. And then we see them in that sadness, and Dave and I go and say, do you want what we have? It's so good. Come in. And then this happens. Jesus adds to their number daily, those who are being saved. It cannot happen if all we do is sing a couple songs and pray some prayers and listen to a sermon on Sunday. It only happens as this thing gets worked out in everyday life, in the life of the believer. I wish I'd asked Abby to print off 200 phones for all of us this morning. But this is what I want us to do. I want to stop right here, and I want us to reflect on these few questions. Maybe you need to get something out to write. Maybe pull your phone out, whatever it is. This morning's response is a reflection. It's just a reflection. We'll have prayer people if you need prayer, but this morning, we're reflecting. And I want you to reflect on this. In what ways, sorry, here some of you are still getting some. In what ways have you dichotomized this faith? Maybe better yet, in what ways have you compartmentalized your faith journey? Maybe another way to look at it is, do you have a church box and the rest of the week box? Or a Jesus box, Jesus hat and the rest of the week hat? And what for you is holding you back from doing away with that barrier? What for you is holding you back from destroying that barrier? So that Sunday morning just becomes a celebration of what Jesus has done and it continues to do. And what happens out there has everything to do with what he's doing in and through you and the people that you interact with. What is holding you back from doing away with the barrier between those two worlds? I want us just to take a couple minutes. I want you to sit. I want you to soak in that thought. I want you to write. I want you to pray. Whatever you need to do to think about, to reflect on that. And then I want you to put a reminder or something like we saw here this morning, piece of paper, whatever it is, a reminder in your phone this week, tomorrow. What is holding me back? What is holding me back from breaking that barrier? Tuesday, what's holding me back from breaking that barrier? Wednesday, what's holding me back from breaking that barrier? The worship team's going to come back up, but we're going to give you a couple minutes just to sit right now and just soak in that. Lord Jesus, I come before you and I ask for this request to be made. I ask as we have journaled, written, whatever that block or barrier is, right now, by your presence and power that comes through your shed blood on the cross, right now, we destroy the foundation of that barrier in the name of Jesus. Lord, spiritually, I ask that you would take a hammer to that barrier. The foundation of that barrier would begin to crumble. And then it would start right now. And that throughout this week, as we see those barriers crumble, that your Spirit would so manifest in our lives that we would have a desire to reach out to our fellow believers, those who call on your name, to grow in one another. Pray this in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand? Let's finish out this morning with some celebration.